Make Me Smart is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Hey, Marketplace listeners, you know around here we like to think you're never too young to learn about the economy and financial basics. That's why we're bringing the Million Bazillion Live Tour to school to teach important lessons about budgeting, investing, saving, and more. It's all the fun of the podcast, but now live, immersive, and interactive. Special thanks to our tour partner, Greenlight, the debit card and money app for kids and teens. Learn more about Greenlight at greenlight.com/million. That is greenlight.com/million. Nova, if you're ready, I say we bang this thing out.
Let's do it.
All right. Banging it out. That's what we're going to do.
Okay.
Hey, everybody, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Welcome back to Make Me Smart, where we make today make sense. It is Thursday, today the 27th day of April. Kimberly is off today and tomorrow. Nova Sappho's here. Nova. Nova, Nova, Nova.
Nice to be with you, everybody. That's my
right
Kai impression.
Oh, is that right? Oh, that's
pretty
funny.
I'm still working on it because you didn't recognize it. So,
the way it's been repeated back to me is that I kind of slur the everybody. And I throw a little Southern in there, too.
Well, you know, the way I think of it is college professor plus the swagger of fighter pilot.
Oh, my God. You're killing me.
You just get in that zone.
Whose idea was it to have you on this podcast?
Jesus. I don't know. It was not a very good idea.
God.
I know. All right. I'm sorry. I'm already apologizing.
We're going to do a little news. Then we're going to do a little Make Me Smile. And then we're gonna get on our merry way. Why don't you go first?
Let's do it.
You go first.
Yeah. So... the story that really caught my attention this week was this Washington Post article about some of the things they found in the leaked documents that Jack Teixeira let out. And it showed that the assessment of the U.S. intelligence community is that Russia can fund its war in Ukraine for another year.
Man.
Yeah. That really struck me because weren't they supposed to be crippled economically by now, right?
Yeah, about a year. I mean, we're sanctioned everything, and we've cut them off from finance and done everything.
Exactly. And yet it's having limited effect. And it really, I remember when we first were doing the sanctions, there were some analysts coming out and saying, you know, sanctions, economic sanctions only do so much, you know, and it's bearing out, you know, it's a limited power. Of course, there's also the fact that they take a long time to take effect, right? And we have new oil price limits kicking in February. We're seeing their oil profits, you know, or revenues half what they used to be. But, you know, you have to wonder if it's wishful thinking because we keep doing these, and Russia keeps funding its war, you know. And one thing the documents did say that is that it's adapted fairly well, you know, and they're scrappy. You know, even with their military defense infrastructure, we take away their microchips and things, and they're finding chips in consumer products and pulling those out and putting them in. So limited effects, apparently, but they're doing it.
Wow. Yeah. So I'm actually just looking up the Urals Brent spread, and Urals is what the global oil market calls Russian crude oil. Urals named for the mountains. And Brent is the global benchmark. And back a year, almost exactly a year ago, the difference between Russian oil and regular market Brent oil was $35. That is to say, Russian oil was $35 cheaper than Brent because of sanctions and because nobody wanted to buy Russian oil. Now that spread is down to 21. So it's gone from $35 to $21. So the spread is narrowing, right? Which means more people are buying it. The Russians are making more money from it. This is really interesting. That's a good story. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. It just, and you wonder what else can we do? And, this has been one of the kind of designs of the global economic order for decades, that if we're economically intertwined, we're less likely to get into conflict. And all of that has been thrown
out the
relatively, window. I mean, for them, out the window. Yeah, I mean, pretty much. So where do we go? Are we decoupling completely?
Now what do we do? Right?
We still don't know the implications.
So I've got two. One's a little ha-ha, but not really ha-ha, and the other one's kind of, you know, more substantive. So I'll give you the substantive one first. There was a story in the Wall Street Journal today pointing out that diesel prices, U.S. diesel fuel prices, have basically been cut in half from a year ago. They were at a record a year ago, $5.34 a gallon at New York. Now in the most recent price fix, $2.65. So it's been cut by half. And why, you might ask? First of all, isn't, you know, falling gas prices good? Well, yes, falling gas prices are good. That means truckers have to pay less and companies have to pay less. But the reason those prices are falling is because there is less freight demand. Why is there less freight demand? Because companies are shipping less inventory. They're worried about consumers buying less. And the threat of recession now is showing up in freight. And so that's sort of an indicator of where, you know, at least one slice of this market thinks this economy is going.
You know, at the same time, we have OPEC cutting production.
I know.
And yet, oil prices haven't gone up as much as people feared right away.
Right.
It feels like the indicators we would normally look at are just almost useless.
Well, look, I mean, that goes to the whole what the hell is going on. Right. What the hell is going on in this economy after the pandemic? Right?
Yeah.
We still can't figure it out. And it's crazy because society writ large has mostly, I mean, look, hundreds of people in this country are still dying every single day from this disease, so we should not discount it. But society has, by and large, moved on. I was on airplanes the last couple of days going to and from Washington, and I was as mask aware as anybody until like 3 months ago, and I was masking on planes, and now I'm just not, you know?
Yeah. I was on planes over the past few days, too, and certainly almost no one else was wearing a mask.
Yeah.
And, you know, one trick, I read this somewhere, is that, you know, because the plane engines aren't on when you first get on the plane, that there's less air perhaps circulating. Mm-hmm. So leave it on at the beginning, but then once the engines come on, you can take them off. And that's what I've been doing, hoping that works. I don't know.
Yeah, you know, look, it sounds logical, right? I would do it. Yeah, I mean, logical. You know, you do what you can. You do what makes you feel safe. Item number two for me is Jay Powell and a couple of Russian pranksters. They apparently, pretending they were Volodymyr Zelensky, the president of Ukraine, they got Powell on the phone back in January. And I just want to know how you go about getting Jay Powell on the phone, because I couldn't call up the Fed switchboard and say, hi, I'd like to talk to Jay Powell. There must have been some effort and some energy, and it does raise questions about the security of Mr. Powell's communications, I suppose. But on the other hand, it's kind of funny. And so I just thought I'd throw it out there that this happened, it's kind of wild.
Kind of funny.
Kind of. Not ha-ha, but oh, man.
Very funny. Yeah. I thought it was hilarious.
Yeah.
But also, like, that's an embarrassing mistake.
Oh, yeah.
Like, a really embarrassing.
Totally. Absolutely.
Right. At what point does it affect credibility? I know, maybe I'm making too much of this, but like, he was already wrong about the interest rates. He can't even tell a Russian. He can't even tell a Russian prankster.
Oh, man.
You know? I don't know, man. He was wrong about the inflation thing. Now we're catching up. Who knows? And he got had by a prankster. Come on, man.
Like, he got had.
I don't know.
Oh, man. All right, let's go from there, Drew, into something else. All right. I would just like to say that I am not a butter user, but I do not believe in putting butter in the refrigerator. And the Wall Street Journal has come out in my corner. There's a big article in the paper today about butter and whether or not it has to be refrigerated at all times or whether you can leave it on the counter so it's spreadable. Obviously, if you put butter out of the fridge on your toast or whatever, you have to like crumble it up and it rips holes in the bread and all that jazz. Leave it on the counter. Mm-hmm. That's all I'm saying. Leave it on the counter. It's safe.
I gotta say, I was surprised at how long you can leave it on the counter.
I know.
It was like multiple weeks.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
That's crazy. And two things on that. First, that very surprised. Second, it is the thing I can't stand the most when you get frozen butter.
Yes.
Right?
It's
the worst. Especially at a restaurant that's supposed to be like a nice restaurant to go out. If they bring out frozen butter, that is my sign. That is literally my litmus test.
No one's getting up and walking away.
I am not kidding. Yes. That is like, you are not worth the price if you bring out frozen butter.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my lordy be. All right. What do you got?
Oof. Well, also kind of haha, a little bit funny, but also kind of, oh my gosh, do we get along anymore? Yaya, the panda, on loan to the Memphis Zoo, yes. just got back to China today. And even before he got there, there have been photos and videos online, people circulating and calling into question how well Memphis Zoo took care of this panda,
oh, no.
because it looks really just not very good.
Oh, no.
Its fur is patchy, it's thin, it's kind of listless. And there were a lot of calls, you know, bring the panda back, you know, bring the panda. And they did. But, you know, the awkward thing is that this is one place where Chinese and American officials actually agree. They're saying the panda got great care. It just has a certain chronic disease of the skin and the fur. So, what this goes to show, right, is don't believe everything you see. It's not always how it looks.
There you go.
But all the Chinese public went for it, which maybe raises a little bit of concern of whether the distrust that the governments have against each other is perhaps spreading to the public. We got to watch out for
that,
right?
Wow.
Yeah.
Hmm. Great picture of this panda, though, sitting in a little patch of bamboo, eating.
I know. You know what's funny is they were comparing it to the pandas on loan to Moscow Zoo. They're like, look at how good those look.
Oh. I don't know if I'd want to be a panda in the Moscow Zoo.
I know, right?
Yeah.
At least it's colder there, though.
That is
so
true.
All that fur.
That is true. That is true. All right. There we go. Quick and dirty. Nova Sapphire.
Yeah.
Getting us done. Speaking of which, we are done for today. Amy's back tomorrow with me, Economics on Tap, with the news, have some drinks, maybe a little half full, half empty. And if you've got a question for us, you know how to do that. And I will too, as soon as I scroll to the bottom of the page, given that I've freaking read this number a zillion times. 508-UB-SMART, 508-UB-SMART, or makemesmart at marketplace.org. You can get us any one of those ways. We will answer to them all. That's pretty funny.
Yeah.
Nice job, Kai. Nice job. Read the rundown.
Jerk.
Make Me Smart, which is the podcast you are listening to, is produced by Courtney Bergseeker. Today's episode was engineered by Drew Jostad. Antonio Barreras is our intern.
And Ellen Rolfes writes our newsletter. Marissa Cabrera is our senior producer. Bridget Bodnar is the director of podcasts. And Francesca Levy is the executive director of digital.
No, but that was great. Thanks for stepping up. I really appreciate it.
My pleasure.
Super
I enjoyed
fun.
It.
Super fun. Hey, everybody.
There it is.
Oh, my Lord.
I love that.
Oh, my Lord.
I'm still honing it. I feel like I have work
next,
to do.
Next time you come back, you can give it another try.
You got it.
All over the country,
we need to improve reading in Wisconsin.
Schools are changing the way they teach reading.
I'm calling for a renewed focus on literacy.
We have gotten this wrong in New York and all across the nation.
And it's happening because of a podcast.
I think your podcast has changed my life.
And I'm going to share this podcast with everyone I meet.
Sold a Story investigates how teaching kids to read went wrong. New episodes of Sold a Story are available now.